This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Green Steps is a community-inspired initiative which aims to help communities evolve towards a low-carbon society with a focus on zero waste, healthy consumption, permaculture development, and the rejuvenation of green and natural spaces. So Green Steps was the first program under Urban Acts, a community-inspired accelerator which focuses on low-carbon and circular economy development. So Azlan Yaqob, who is the founder of Urban Acts and also the founder of Green Steps, joins me now to share how Green Steps program, such as the Towards Zero Waste and Coffee to Compost initiatives, are enabling communities in Tamantun to easily reduce their carbon footprint through activities like composting, urban farming, and more. Welcome, Azlan. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So let's get straight to it, Azlan. I know that, you know, your background isn't actually on environmental sciences or conservation. Am I correct? But why would these sorts of issues, you know, climate change, urban poverty, accessibility, environmental degradation, why were these issues close to your heart?
I guess it all started because I was involved in IT projects in the 1990s as well as in the early 2000s. And I got myself into an IT project that had a lot of political involvement. And from there, I wanted to stop doing IT altogether. So then what happened was someone came to me and said, would you like to get involved in something else? So I was involved in, at that time, green technology. And I gained some experience from green technology, and I was exposed to some of the issues with regards to the environment. So that's kind of how it all started. With regards to my community and how I got started, I had a hernia operation in 2011. And what happened was I got weaker. My health deteriorated in a different way, where I felt weaker. I just didn't feel right. I ate more, so I gained weight. And what I did was I started to diet, low-carb diet. And the other thing I did was I started to walk all over Tamantun. You know, I didn't drive. I just walked to the shops. It would take me about 10 minutes from my house to the area of Jalan Amuddin Baki and Rahim Kajai, where the shops are. And it will take me 15 minutes to go to the shops near Jalan Tun Fuan. So I walked. And when I walked, I discovered trash in places where you can't see if you were to drive.
Right.
So when you drive, you don't see what's on the ground so much. You just whiz by. But when you walk, you discover this drain and you see all this garbage and you see all this, the drain would smell.
Yeah.
And you wonder why does it smell. So around that same time, Google and the search engine Google became quite easy to use. And I like to self-study, so I would start to study one issue after the other. And that's sort of how I got myself started in community engagement, by just walking around.
And getting to know your community.
And getting to know, yeah, my community in that respect, yes.
Yeah, and getting to know what were the sort of issues, you know, in your community. Like you say, when you're in your car, you can't smell that smelly drain. It's just, you assume everything is all right, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
And I know that you also believe strongly that, you know, if we deal with issues such as food, energy, water, and waste, right, that's how we're going to be able to tackle all the SDGs. And that's something that all these programs focus on, right? You know, tackling the SDGs. Talk to me about how you went about assessing the situation now that you realize there were problems, right? How did you assess the situation? You know, how did you identify what were the problems that needed some fixing?
Well, what happened as well was I got myself involved in, there were like focus groups that were run by the local council. And so I was invited through the various people that I know. And then I also learned that the authorities has very good intentions to change things, but they seem to be not as well equipped to handle them, partly because of the way that they are design and how they address issues. So around this time, after having met with local councils and having been in their focus groups, I realized that it will take a lot of time before they themselves could come up with solutions. So my background is I've been in technology. So from day one when I worked, we developed solutions. Whether they succeed or not is a different story. So one of the solutions I worked on, which everyone uses today, is WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. That was back in the 1990s, Cellcom was a client. I was with Motorola, and we launched the first wireless messaging service. Mm-hmm. It was called WISE, Wireless Information Service, if I could remember. So if anyone out there who was in Cellcom or Motorola at that time, that is a shout out to all of you. So I've spent most of my life, my career, solving problems. And to solve problems, you need to have a different skill set, which I have developed. So I decided around that time, which is probably 2014, mm-hmm. to actually go through my own discovery. And the first step towards that discovery was I attended a meeting. At that time, it was the TTTIRA meeting. It was the annual meeting. Actually, I didn't attend a meeting. It was the, what do they call it? The General Assembly meeting, right? Okay. So I sat in the back and I filled out a form. And basically in the form, I said, I want to be involved in green stuff. If you guys are interested, let me know. We'll do something together. Mm-hmm. And because the meeting was, compared to the RA meetings today, which is quite exciting, in those days, they were quite low-key and attended by people that were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Okay. So I was still 40s, is it? No. So I was, sorry, I just became a 5-series myself. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but Juliet, but that's basically how it got me to try to formalize a green action, climate action. And I did manage to talk to someone in RA. And the first step that we did was to hold a composting workshop.
Okay.
With an NGO called Econites.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes, of course. Yeah.
So Econites is the one that said, okay, we'll do the workshop. And at that time, I did not know the community that much, but someone in the group managed to get about 30 people to join. Okay. So then I'm like, oh, okay, there is interest. We just don't see it, right?
Yeah. You need somebody to start it.
So I would say that was the beginning mm-hmm. of what we see happening in... Well, I don't want to take credit for it, but in Tamantun now you see quite a number of things happening. Mm-hmm. But I think that was one of the trigger points where more and more people got involved in green activities. And that's why TTDI is a little bit more famous when it comes to these kind of things. It's a trigger that kind of, it was like a dam with water and then you just break a hole and mm-hmm. suddenly people start to come out and gave confidence to each other.
Can I say that you are hoping to sort of shape TTDI into becoming the first low-carbon community in Malaysia? Can I say that's the aim of all of this?
That is not the aim.
Okay.
It so happens I live in Tamantun. So again, remember when I said that I used to solve problems as
that's
a tech
right.
person?
Mm-hmm.
So it's simply a convenient place for me to test what I think should be done.
Okay.
So it's not for Tamantun to be the first of anything. It's so that everyone in Malaysia starts to follow steps that leads to a low-carbon environment.
Okay.
So Tamantun, for lack of a better word, is a place where we test ideas. Now, there are two names that I have put out in society. One is Urban X. So Urban X is actually the overarching accelerator. And the whole idea about Urban X is not just green things, but we also address things like aging population. And it so happens that around 2015, we have these SDGs. Mm. So if you want to think about what Urban X is trying to do, it's basically to address all SDGs.
Okay.
And it just so happens that because of the timing and, of course, there's a resource issue because, it's only one of me, Then we started Green Steps. And we have grown. We have more people involved and a lot of associates involved, which I can explain more later in the program.
Okay. So you designed what, or you developed what you described as a quasi-formal accelerator, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay. One of the challenges in any program is to create a structure where you have legal entities involved. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the kind of legal entities in a community are normally an association, mm-hmm. like a residence association, like a PIBG, or if any Americans are listening, it's a PTA. So basically, you have these kind of organizations, and they are designed to serve a very specific purpose. But when you want to solve problems, normally the local council would step in. And what the local council would do is they would tend to appoint contractors. So they are normally Sdn. Bhd or even Bhds, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I learned a bit about corporate development. So I just sort of decided to use Sdn. Bhds, which I happen to be a director and shareholder of, and use them as SPVs. Now, sometimes people would hear the word SPV and they'll get like, oh my gosh, you know, this is some, you know, corporate shenanigan that people do. But SPV basically is just a vehicle which resembles a trust. Mm. It's not a trust, but it resembles a trust. All you need to just say is that this SPV does this thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? In Islamic parlance, they sometimes call these entities like a wakaf.
Okay.
Or a trust. But they're not wakaf and trust. I just want everyone to know that. It's just, I needed to just create them first and run a model through them so that people can see. And as a Sdn. Bhd, they can go into an agreement, they can scope out projects, and so forth. So it's designed to manage quite a number of things, but mostly agreements.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm speaking today.
I hope it's clear. I know I'm not meant to talk about structures here, but yeah. But you need to create a structure because what I notice in a lot of environmental movements, most of the movements are done by individuals. Mm-hmm. And or they register themselves as NGOs. And you can't really do a lot to change the world if it's just you and if you're an NGO. I mean, you can change something, like you can speak about a few things. But if you want to operationalize a problem, like, say, a problem of waste, then you need to have structures, okay? Mm. And you need to have the self-discipline to make sure that those structures do what they are supposed to do.
Sure.
So a lot of these structures, the integrity of the structures depends on myself to have that discipline as well. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if people are interested to solve problems, then they also need to go through this process of developing SPVs that can solve very specific problems in the communities. Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much what's happened with Green Steps, right? And we're going to find out about all the different programs, or all the different projects under Green Steps after this quick break. I'm speaking to Azlan Yaakob. He is the founder of Green Steps and also the founder of Urban Acts. And we're talking about what Green Step is all about. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me in the studio today is Azlan Yaakob. He's the founder of Green Steps and the founder of Urban Acts. And Green Steps is actually a community-inspired initiative. You know, it's a grassroots initiative, actually, designed to provide solutions to address all those huge issues, climate change, urban poverty, accessibility and environmental degradation, and more. So you explained, you know, why you set it up and how you set it up as well, right, Azlan? And it's of course, a series of sustainability initiatives by the community, for the community. Talk to me about all the different programs that you have under Green Steps. What have you devised under that?
The first program started in 2018. In 2018, I got a grant from CIMB Foundation. And the grant basically allowed me to test the concept of composting in the community. Mm-hmm. And the way we tested this was, we had a composting machine, a relatively portable machine, and we brought it to the different constituents in TTDI. So this was around the time of the election. Remember that election? The 2018 election,
right? Of
course,
right? Yes.
So the machine first went to Balai Police.
Tamantun Balai Police.
Yeah, Tamantun Balai Police. And he was there for a couple of months. It was only supposed to be there in a month, but then the election happened. So the police was constantly being asked to be everywhere because of, at that time, there was that transition of power. So it was there for a couple of months. And basically what we did was we just composted food waste from the police station. And there's also the police barracks,
that's right,
apartments that were nearby. So we got food waste and we went through the process. And the Ketua Police, Tuan Mohsin, was extremely supportive of the initiative. He himself is a very much a green person. And we then moved the machine to the mosque for Ramadan. And it was interesting because in the police station, it's very structured. So if the Ketua Police say, do this, then everything gets done nicely. So we was privileged with the fact that everything worked so smoothly. The timing was fantastic. There was someone assigned. But we went to the mosque. We did not have the luxury of a structure because basically a mosque is run by volunteer AJK. Mm-hmm. So we had to constantly go back, turn on the machine. Sometimes it was turned off and then the machine would not compost, you know. But eventually we managed to come up with a structure because the caterer was asked to be involved.
Okay.
So he kind of managed the machine, but we had to be there almost every day. Now, the interesting thing that happened at the mosque was we had a post on Facebook where we said we had free compost. And suddenly we had a lot of people come to the mosque, a lot of non-Muslims.
Okay.
And we asked them some questions, and one of the things that we discovered is for many of them, this was the first time that they've actually been in a mosque.
Right.
So we had to kind of remind people to wear, like, you know, don't wear shorts, that kind of thing, you know. But that is something that we discovered and we thought was quite cool that, you know, maybe for whoever out there who runs mosque, think about programs like this and perhaps, you know, more and more people, non-Muslims especially, they come to the mosque, they get exposed to the culture in a mosque, mm-hmm. which can be very positive because people don't know. And once they realize it's all good, all peaceful, everyone is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we went to the school, SKATTDI1, and we ran the machine through a program there as well. And it was very well received. We even had an event at the school. We had a few VIPs, community members that attended. So that exposed people to the idea of composting and composting with technology.
Okay.
And then it was at the school for a couple of months. And then we had a cafe, Muka Cafe, that agreed to have the machine at their premise. So mm-hmm. now we can test how the machine does in an environment like a restaurant or cafe.
Sure.
And by the way, Muka Cafe is the first cafe in Tamantun, founded in 2011. And it was interesting. So we are, you know, they are the first, and then we did our first with them.
There, yes, lots of firsts there.
And we discovered other things. We also discovered that there were some issues with the use of a machine, high energy use. So they had an electric bill. And luckily, I had a bit more money from the grant, so I could compensate some of that until the machine was finally returned back to the company that made them.
Okay.
In exchange, through the grant, we had a machine, which is currently at the school at this point in time.
Okay, even till today.
Even to today. Unfortunately, because of MCO, we are unable to run the composting mm-hmm. program at the school.
Okay.
So around the time when the school had issues because of the MCO, I reached out to, there are a couple of gardens in Tamantun. So one of them is Urban Hijau, and the other one was the community garden. So I reached out to them and asked them if they could continue to receive the coffee grounds that we were collecting. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of trying to see whether a segment of Tamantun would follow a particular program idea that I had, which was coffee to compost. It wasn't called coffee to compost then, but I just wanted to see the reaction of like maybe four or five of the cafes in Tamantun. So around that time, we normally send it to the school, but because of the MCO scenarios. So both of these gardens accepted the coffee grounds. And it was good because a lot of these, one of the challenges of developing urban farms is the inputs. So it's quite hard to get them. The logistics are not designed to help these guys. They also needed to find their own inputs like grass cuttings, wood chips and all that.
Yeah. And I think the MCO just didn't make anything easier, did it? So this was actually quite nice because it's all kind of contained in a community where,
yes,
yeah, it was easy to share.
Yes. So one of the things about Green Steps is that a lot of work needed to be done to get the local community to link them.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm sure that most people are exposed to the ideas that there are kabons out there and all that. But linking them is actually, to me, the bigger challenge,
mm-hmm,
okay? And getting them to work together, to orchestrate. So this is the emphasis of Green Steps. The emphasis of Green Steps is not for you to have your own urban farm and all that. There's a lot of people out there that are already doing this, doing gardening. The emphasis of Green Steps is to connect people together. So if I have a raw material like coffee grounds or food waste, and you need it because you are an urban farm,
mm,
then we systematically try to get those inputs for you.
Yeah.
And if you have produce and you're selling it to others, then you could use the networks that we built for you to sell your products through those networks.
So that is
low carbon development, circular economy, all
exactly,
those phrases that you've been hearing, right, everyone?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So we are operationalizing them.
Okay.
And the issues now I face is, how does it all come together on a financial? What makes it work financially?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I am at today.
So to say that at the moment it's not making sense financially?
If you use the current way of evaluating an economic system, mm-hmm, a high carbon economic system does not address externalities. And what I mean by not addressing externalities is that a high carbon economic system is purely transactional, and there are costs. So there are environmental costs.
Mm.
There are pollutants. So if you buy a car, you are polluting the environment.
Mm-hmm.
NOx and SOx, chemicals, come from the exhaust. But are they price? They are not price. Particulate matter, are they price? They are not price. And how that ends up becoming a cost to the environment is that these pollutants end up affecting our health. So it comes out in a different way,
yeah,
which is the health costs. And if you have COVID now, if you think through, the people most vulnerable to COVID are the people whose health is compromised.
That's right.
So how do you measure those economic costs? So that is it's not only a Malaysian issue, it's a global issue. Even economists struggle with issues of externalities. Now we have climate change. We have too much greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Now how do you measure the cost of a fire in Australia, which happened recently, or fires in California, or rising sea levels in a island nation?
Mm-hmm.
Or in Malaysia, I don't know if you noticed, recently we've been having some really strange rainstorms,
yeah,
causing flooding. So how do you measure those costs? So no one actually knows how to. And that is a challenge. So, I mean, it's a challenge. It's our challenge. It's not Green Steps challenge. Okay,
yeah, it is a challenge.
Yeah, it's just that Green Steps is a little bit early in trying to get people to understand that there are financial implications. And we have come up with a very, let's call it version one, a very rudimentary method for people to start understanding what those externalities are.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a huge problem, actually. And hats off for, you know, even acknowledging it. But How are the community responding to all these different initiatives, right? How are they actually, are they actually collaborating? Have you found that, you know, since you started, more people are interested to collaborate? Are they actually just kind of like rolling their eyes at you and just calling you greenies? You know, what's the sort of reactions you're getting?
Well, one of the things I learned when I was doing technology development and innovation is there's something called a technology adoption life cycle. And basically what, whenever you introduce something that is, that will change your life, like, you know, like a handphone or electric vehicle, whatever technology, it goes through a cycle. So it starts with the innovators, early adopters, and then the early majority, and then the later majority, and eventually the laggards. In fact, I run courses on technology adoption lifecycle when I was doing some consulting work earlier in the last decade. That's what, 2011? Yeah. So what has happened was, on cue, the early adopters, the people that, you know, the kindred spirit,
we found
each other. We started to find each other. And so now Green Steps actually have a slowly growing community of innovators and early adopters that see things almost similarly, mm-hmm. but approached it differently. So everyone have their own style, okay? Mm-hmm. Not everyone have a tech background. Some people are housewives, you know? Some people are just people in government. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
It's just that the early adopters start to find each other, and we have our own chat groups, and we have our own dialogues and discussion. So, and even within the community, like I mentioned very early on, back in 2014, there were about 20, 30 people that appeared for a composting
workshop.
Now, I have a kind of brain where I would just make statistical analysis. So when I said, 20 or 30 people, there are about 6,000 houses in Tamantun and about 14 condos. So I roughly say that's about what, 2% maybe? Mm. Yeah, 20, 30, about 5%, right? And I said, wow, 5% people showed up. Not bad. And then from that 2014, different people had different approaches. So you had people that set up gardens. Then you had people that decided to do advocacy. Mm. Okay, so everyone had their own style. And so I have mine. And the thing that I thought was very important early on is to have this mindset of a financial model. Okay, so what green... So now we're going to get into the discussion of the next evolution of Green Steps. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was getting a little bit more famous in 2019 because after the grant, we decided to do crowdfunds. Now, the crowdfunds, I don't know how people feel about crowdfunds because they're a bit like donations.
Yeah.
But now crowdfunding is a global phenomenon. You have Kickstarter and you have all these other people doing crowdfunds. So it was a way for people to channel some of that energy to a crowdfund. So maybe you can't, you yourself personally feel, I'm not ready to do something, but I have some money. I have some cash. And we worked with a crowdfund called LaunchGood. It's a US-based crowdfund. It's also a Muslim-based crowdfund. It was and it was mostly designed to help with situations around the world, like, you know, refugees issues, poverty, hunger issues. So I looked at it and I couldn't find, except for maybe one or two, but I couldn't find anything that talks about climate change. Mm. So then I had this idea that, why don't we test this? Why don't we get some data? You know, who's going to give money for something like this? So our first crowdfund was called Towards Aligning Communities, schools, restaurants. And so we managed to raise some money. And so that was to test.
Okay.
To test the community in a little bit more formal way, where we got the cafes to give us their coffee grounds consistently and the school would process it. Then we realized that, yeah, it looks like it can work. And so we were in discussion with a company called Touchpoint International. Touchpoint International is focused on smart cities. Okay, so they would go to a local council and they would introduce their digital architecture and technology to a local council. And part of their model was to have communities be involved. So we were in discussion and they offered to develop what they call a mini app. Okay, so they have an app, but within the app, there is a mini app called Green Steps. So we went into an agreement and said, okay, now you could actualize the ideas of Green Steps in the form of a digital platform. So that was completed around January.
This year, right?
This year, yeah. January 2021. So along the same time, when the app was developed, it was also in anticipation of the Coffee to Compost program. Now, the Coffee to Compost program is our first attempt. It's not yet done, by the way. We're just kind of raising money. And because of MCO, there was a lot of times we wanted to start. But then MCO happened and we kind of stopped and waited. But the waiting actually helped us a bit. Mm-hmm. So the Coffee to Compost is to actually get 50 merchants in Tamantun or 50 eateries. I actually went around to all the eateries and I discovered there's about 180 in Tamantun. So for people in Tamantun, there's 180 eateries. Please support them. So out of the 180, I thought maybe 50 can go on the app.
Okay.
And they could then provide us with their coffee grounds and eventually their food waste and their solid waste. And with this Touchpoint app, which is called M Squared, they also have features for merchants to consider. But it's optional. The main thing is that people use Green Steps first. So if people are interested to use the merchant features of the app, they are more than welcome to. So the idea is to have a presence, okay? A relatively significant presence. If you have 50, that's about 20-ish percent of 180. And so people could come in and people could see that, oh, there's something going on here. There's a lot of merchants involved in climate action. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, and they kind of not know it because the way we approach them is that we just basically say that we've got this program, we take your coffee grounds, we bring it to an urban farm, they compost it. And that is the absolute minimum for them to understand. But eventually some of them actually ask things like, oh, can the urban farms provide me with herbs? Can the urban farms do this, do that? So now you have the good issue or the good problem of you can be a catalyst for urban farm development because there is this, like I said earlier, a network and a link between all the different entities.
Yeah, and an increased demand as well.
Yeah, so now you start, what happens is that now you start seeing a financial model
blooming.
Budding la, not blooming.
Budding la, okay, budding.
So there's still a lot of things that we need to test. And so that's kind of the thing that we can start developing business models. Before that, you can't develop any model because you're still in a experimental mode. And of course, in my case, the experimental mode was how many years now?
Yeah.
7 years, right. So some of the cafe guys always mention, they're amazed that, I kept on this for so long. So I'm like, oh, no, it's just something that I felt needed to be done because I did not see it being done almost anywhere in the world.
Okay. I was going to ask actually about the app, when you're approaching them, do they ask you things like, what's in it for me? Are those the sorts of situations also that you had to face when you were trying to, quote unquote, sell this idea?
Okay. So it goes back to the adoption life cycle. So when you are in the gang of early adopters, money is secondary.
Okay.
Okay.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. So, but then now... Now, because we're going to go into the early majority part of the life cycle, there will be, and I have encountered questions or inference that what's in it for me?
Yeah.
So this is why I needed to do a fundraise. So the fundraise is to get to the next group. which probably needs to be incentivized by some money, but not a lot. Okay? Meaning some money is that it should just cover their costs. So now you have another group that's being engaged, and now they're being engaged today, where we will have a financial incentive which is consistent with the kind of work that they're already doing. For example, if you are doing a Grab delivery, the minimum cost is 5 ringgit per delivery.
That's right.
So, of course, being the person that I am, you know, as a tech developer, then I would ask the question, okay, so how much time and energy do they need to put in to make 5 ringgit? Okay, for example, right? And so that's how we design the system.
Okay.
So it makes, you know, when they pick up the coffee grounds, so we're in the midst of design, it's not completed. So I got a big breakthrough because I managed to find compostable bags. Okay, now, but basically what a compostable bag is that it's a plant-based bag and it will compost. Mm-hmm. But there are different compost levels. So I found the bag I needed, which is a home, you can put it in a household compost pile and it will compost safely.
Okay.
There's something called an industrial bag, but you need to put it in an industrial system where the temperature profile is quite high, around 60 degrees Celsius, and the bag will degrade. But in a home compost, it may not go all the way up to 60 degrees Celsius. So okay. It might just be ambient or maybe slightly higher. So, but the bag will compost maximum a year, 4 months to a year.
All right.
So I found those bags. So now we could design a system where anybody could take a bag and put it at a composting site. So now your financial start to become even better.
Right.
I'm not saying it's profitable, but now it starts to make more sense. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're all about. You know, I've been, most of the time people say, oh, you're a zero waste guy. Oh, okay, yeah. Or you're the farmer. I'm like, oh, I don't do any farming. My wife happens to do the one that farms in the house, but I'm the one that makes the compost. But we're none of that. We're basically here to address climate change. But to address climate change, you need to get everyone involved. So that's the whole idea behind Green Steps. And Green Steps is also a program, by virtue of its name, everyone can take the first step, the second step, the third step. Mm-hmm. So the first step could just be a donation because you feel compelled to do something, but you don't know what to do. The second step is, oh, okay, I'll let Azlan take my coffee grounds. That's a step, right?
Yeah.
Instead of me putting it out in the back for Alam Flora to take it, now this guy takes it. So that could be second step. Mm. Then maybe third step is, oh, by the way, some of the cafes didn't want me to give the coffee grounds. They are composting.
Ah.
Which is what I want to see.
Yes, of course.
So then I don't have to spend money on them. And they derive the benefit from their composting activities. So now when I go to see them, they said, oh, Azlan, oh, I'm using my coffee ground. You want to see? Then I said, oh, okay, I want to see. Then they ask me, what do you think? Oh, I think you should do this a little bit differently and all that. Oh, okay. So I'll come by. So what I'll do, I'll just come by and I'll see how they're doing. So this is, but now I'm formalizing that. I'm formalizing a group of people that are familiar with composting, familiar with urban farming, and hopefully through the next iteration of Green Steps, they could be financially rewarded, or at least to cover their costs so that they can do the function that I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
And where do you see this going, I suppose, in the next 4 to 5 years? I mean, you are in this for the long haul, I suppose, right? I mean, considering it's been 7 years, where do you see do you have like a 5-year plan that you've kind of like envisioned already?
Now, this might be a strange way of answering your question. I do have a 5-year plan. Okay. So I'm 55.
Okay.
So 5-year plan is that I am 60.
Sure.
The 5-year plan is for the people that are involved today and for the people that will be involved later, for them to become skilled in low carbon development. Mm. That's my goal. My goal is not like, okay, I'm going to, you know, my target is 1,000 cafes and all that. That's not a target of mine. The target of mine is that they are talent. And one of the challenges is there is very little talent in low carbon development. There's a lot of talent of people building products, building systems, building digital systems. You know, Malaysia actually has a lot of talent globally, but very little of that talent, the energy of that talent, goes into low carbon development. Mm. So my goal in 5 years' time, and I've told my team, some of them are quite young, they've been with me in their mid-20s, I have interns as well. I said, look, in 5 years' time, I want you guys to have the skill sets to be the CEOs, the product managers, the program managers that you all will be able to bring to your constituents or whoever that constituents are. I'll give you an example of how Green Steps have developed a little bit further. So while we have an app, so that caused a little bit of sensationalism. So some people are like, wow, you have an app, you know. So there's one group of persons that I know that also hangs out in Tamantun that do a lot of crypto and blockchain. So yeah, they've been seeing for the last 2-3 years Azlan taking coffee grounds and talking about what he's doing. Now he's got an app. They're like, now they are getting more confident. So we've started a discussion 2 months, and I think we're almost finished with the initial document to create a blockchain of green points. We've not even started green points officially. Maybe after Raya, after all these MCO will be a little bit more developed. But yeah, we've got guys who now says, hey, let's make this into crypto something or the other. We've not had any names. But it follows the same model. Mm. And if you have a crypto, are you familiar with some of the terms? I think they call it NFTs,
yes.
Non-fungible tokens. Yeah?
Yeah.
So one person actually had this idea. Why don't we make green points an NFT? Put some art in carbon reduction.
There you go.
So I'm like, oh, it's something completely new to me.
Yeah.
And the one driving this is not me because I don't have the skill set.
Mm.
I'm an old person with old technology skills. But these guys have all these skills. And my team members who are young are far more familiar with this space than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can start seeing that the young, they don't talk to me. They just, now they, okay, I give them some thing to do. They are doing it. And they don't even tell me what they're doing. So, which I think is a good thing because that goes to show that now some of the talent is taking ownership.
Sure.
Which I think is important. So that's my 5-year goal, Juliet.
Okay.
Okay. To kind of retire in a...
I was going to say, yes, to let the rest do it, right?
Yeah.
To enjoy
or to
your
evolve
coffee.
Myself, to be a little bit more... 60, then maybe, you know, I when a politician needs someone to talk, you know, an older politician or they need to understand what climate change is. Okay, maybe I would be someone that they would seek out to explain these things to them and they could create policy that is better for Malaysia. So that's my goal, actually. My goal is not to be a politician or my goal is not to be involved in political intrigue. My goal is that people need to learn and some people learn better from someone who happens to be of the same age as them. So,
Someone who's put in all the time and who's done the research and who's put in the structures and who's put in the hard work, basically, right? And who's actually, studied all the different aspects of it as well, including the financial one, which is, you know, often ignored, right? Because it's always, oh, we must do this for the greater good. But you are also looking at the financial aspects of it. And I think that will gain a lot of interest, actually, especially from politicians.
Yes. So that's where policy comes in. So eventually what needs to happen is policies, whether it's in Malaysia or ASEAN or globally, they need to be a little bit more skewed towards natural-based solutions. You're going to hear a lot about this. I think you had Mina here, right?
Of course,
yes.
Yeah.
So she talks about the nature-based solution. So I'll put it this way. Listen to what follow Greta Thunberg on Instagram. She clarifies the issues extremely well about these commitments towards net zero carbon, about carbon sinks, about offset. She, listen to her words carefully, read her words. She explains it very, very well. And you can then make your own judgment call on whether a large corporation, when they make a pledge or governments making pledges, whether those pledges will make sense in addressing climate change.
Okay.
If you want another talk later on this, yeah, we can have a talk, no problem. We'll have Mina and me here and we'll find.
We will organize that for sometime soon, but I'm afraid we're running out of time, Azlan.
Okay.
But, you know, if anyone's interested to get in touch, you don't have an official website, but, you know, what's the best way to get in touch with you if anyone's listening and would like to?
Well, we have basically a Facebook, Instagram page, and it's Green Steps. Google and you'll eventually find it.
Okay.
And then drop us a message. But be a bit more specific. Sometimes we get messages that are quite vague. You know, name, what do you want in terms of a meeting and what kind of meeting you want, and leave us a number for us to contact. So through this process, we've done a food webinar with Isaac, Sunway,
that's right, yeah.
And then there's a group in Penang called Jedi, mm-hmm. where I was involved. So, and basically, yeah, so I've been on webinars. And the one thing that I always mention to people is that regardless of who does the webinars, I know if you are listening, stop doing webinars. Go down to the ground. Or if you feel that you can work with Green Steps, come and talk to me direct and reduce carbon. Mm. The very act of reducing carbon, whether it's composting, and we will introduce programs like mobility, active mobility, where you walk instead of drive, energy efficiency, and a bit later, consuming local products as opposed to something that comes from Cameroon or Chile or US. So we can kickstart the urban farming, organic farming industry here in Malaysia. Come and talk to me. All these things reduce carbon. Every act that you do is an act towards low carbon economic development. If you still find that you cannot do these kind of things because of your time pressures, it's you can do it. You just have to find the time. Okay? And we will start introducing videos on composting, so you can individually compost, many different ways to compost, and we'll have people that will talk about their way of doing compost. And do once in a while, maybe not every day, walk instead of or drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, in a way, self-discover how you can help. Plenty of videos out there. We will have tools for you. But get started. Yeah, whether you're an individual, whether you're a boss in an organization where you have control over resources, start doing it today.
Yeah. Start with taking a walk in your neighborhood like you did.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Azlan. I've been speaking to Azlan Yaakob, who's the founder of Green Steps and also of Urban X. And Green Steps is, of course, a series of sustainability initiatives by the Tamantun community for the Tamantun community. And again, if you'd like to get in touch or find out more, just search for Green Steps on Facebook and Instagram. And if you missed any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app or at bfm.my/earth. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.